bless. Amen. I believe we are more than conquerors, don't you? I always like to think a conqueror was when David put that stone in Goliath's forehead and he fell on the ground. But he was more than a conqueror when he took Goliath's sword and cut off his head. Huh? Amen. Praise God. And that's what I like to see some of you campers do this week. You know, you've been knocking the giant out and knocking him down, and but you won't take the sword out and just cut his head off. Huh? Amen. You win the victory on it, and then here it comes again, like I preached last night. You know, we're commanded to crucify ourselves daily. We are called to a crucified life. Amen. But I'll tell you what, there's no better thing than just to know, hallelujah, that if I am crucified with Christ, it's not I that's living, but Christ is living in me. And when He lives in me, there's not a devil that can stop me. Hallelujah. Y'all believe that tonight? Man, I'll tell you what. I told Brother Sean a minute ago, I've been to a lot of youth camps, but I don't know if I've ever been in a youth camp to hear such good singing. Amen. It just seems like everybody getting up and just singing and getting anointed. Yeah, hallelujah. I like that, don't you? But I really believe God wants to speak to us tonight. And I'm just trying to feel after the Lord. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't come to impress anybody. And I feel like in the 28 years of preaching, going on 29, I've tried to be studious. I've tried to always be prepared. But the last few services, I've been just trying to get a hold of what God wants to say to you. Amen. And try to convey that thought. And I believe God wants us to have an altar call around here today. Man, did Brother Sean Stevens forevermore preach today. I mean, I've been hearing Brother Sean preach since he was 5 years old. He's got a lot better than when he was five. Hallelujah. I'm serious. I heard him preach a sermon when he was 5 years old out in California. Called my brother out. My brother was laughing or something. He just rebuked. Oh, there's Sean. I was looking for you. Hallelujah. You remember that? Amen. Been my friend, but he has been one of the most consistent young men that I know. Huh? And let me say this. I'm going to let him sing. You watch him play the piano or Brother George play the piano, and you can see how a man plays the piano. Huh? A man can play the piano and still be a man. Hello. Glory to God. Well, that was free. Hallelujah. Y'all sing.
Rolling stone that the builders rejected. The mountain. The solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
Where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? Who do I talk to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation?
Lord is the rock of my salvation, the rolling stone that the builders rejected. Rolling stone that the builders rejected. Lord is the rock of my salvation. the rolling stone that the builders rejected.
You may tremble on the rock, but the rock will never tremble under you. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful for that. Hallelujah. Got just one quick announcement. I failed to make it before. Really two parts here. Number one, we had a lot of running in and out last night, especially from the younger ones. Counselors, be good if you sit on either end, maybe of the younger boys, where they're not just running back. One person counted, one boy went back five times for a drink during service. We don't want that. So we're gonna post somebody at the door back there tonight. And if it's just, if we're the church on the move tonight, back and forth, then we're going to have to change that. Amen. But secondly, there was also some confusion, and it's partly my fault. But last night, we said, hey, time to lock it up about 11:30, 11:45. People went to their dorms and all of a sudden decided, hey, we can take showers now. Well, no, that means you get to your dorm. Hey, counselors, when we say, hey, to the dorms, within about 30 minutes or so, we want to get things locked down, lights out. Tonight, we're going to stay up a little later. We're going to have basketball and volleyball tomorrow night. I plan on starting our team competitions as far as volleyball. That way, we can get that out of the way for some of the weightier matters. There's things that's a lot more important than that, but with the volleyball and the basketball. But tonight, we're going to play volleyball. Got big lights out there, and I want you to stay in the light. But if we're up till 1 o'clock, and I'll let you know, that means if you want your shower, you don't play volleyball till 1 o'clock in the morning and decide, hey man, I need a shower. All right, that's just the way you need a shower. You ought to know it before 1 o'clock in the morning. All right, go get your shower plenty of time so that when we shut things down. We're ready to go to sleep. All right? Appreciate Brother Tracy. Amen. Let's get behind him and help him tonight while he preaches.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's a great privilege to be here again. And we pray that the Lord will stand by us and help us here tonight. Amen. And we want you to turn with us to the book of 1 Kings tonight. Amen. The book of 1 Kings and chapter number 11. Amen. In chapter number 11. And we want to read two verses there in verses 21 and 22 of the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 11. Praise the Lord. I pray the Lord will help us here tonight, and that I can get my thought across to you. I'd love to see us have a mighty altar call. Amen. I'd like to have one of them old-fashioned altar calls. Huh? Amen. You still believe in that? Amen. That depends on you, not me. Amen. And I'll tell you what. Amen. I'm hoping that by the time we give an altar call, the atmosphere has changed from what it is right now. Amen. I pray that, amen, people are worshiping, tears are flowing, hands are clapping. Amen. I still believe in old time religion, don't you? Amen. And so we want to go here, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse number 21. And when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, let me depart that I may go to mine own country. Then Pharaoh said unto him, but what hast thou lacked with me, that behold thou seekest to go to thine own country? And he answered, nothing, howbeit let me go in any wise. Amen. Father, we come to you tonight. I pray, O Lord, that you would arrest the attention of every child of God in this building. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint us with the power that comes from on high. I pray, Lord, that you would give us a demonstration of your Spirit tonight. People would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. People would be healed. Folks would be saved. People would be encouraged, oh God. I pray, oh Lord, if we come to church and we have singing and we have preaching, but we don't meet with you in the altars, what good has it done us? We're asking you to crown this service with your glory, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen and amen. Praise God. I want to preach on here today. Thank you, brother. I want to preach on here today. I want to preach about respectable prodigals. Amen. Respectable prodigals. Hallelujah. I know that we're familiar with the best known story of Jesus, in which the prodigal son, in which we've heard preached many times, that he came to himself there in the pig pen. When he came to himself, he realized where he was, what he had done, and he decided that he was going to go back home. And unquestionably, Brother Leon, one of the strongest motives which influenced him in that decision was that of his physical need. He realized that he was faring no better than the servants at his father's house. He was in the pig pen. He was among the swine, and the swine was a curse to the Jew. He was living at the very bottom. So therefore, when we think of a prodigal, we think of somebody that's been to the pig pen. We think with somebody that's went down into the gutter. Somebody that maybe was in church and went to the far country and got hooked on liquor. And somehow they ended up in the gutter. They lost their business. They lost everything that they had. And we say that is the prodigal son. Or maybe it's somebody that sang the songs of Zion. And as they sang the songs of Zion, amen, somehow or another they got hooked on drugs. Maybe it was meth, one hit, and they were hooked. And today we look at them, and they look ragged. They look worn and wasted. The weight has fallen off of them. Their teeth are rottening out. And we think about all the far country. How it is really, amen, doing them bad. And that's how we kind of think of the prodigal. We think of the prodigal in the story that Jesus told. And listen to me. I know that he was down and out. I know that he was forsaken. I know that the prodigal was hungry. And I know that he was destitute. But when he came to himself, he said, I must go back to my father's house. I'm going somewhere. Now, I want to tell you, when a man realizes and comes to the realization that he's ignorant in some type of field or vocation, he's going to do what it takes to educate himself. When a man realizes that he is a sinner, he's going to come to the fact that he needs salvation. Or when a man realizes that he needs to repent, repentance is the road that is going going to lead him to forgiveness. Are you hearing me? But I'm not preaching about them prodigals that have left the house of God and they're hooked on drugs and they're alcoholics or they've left their spouse and their companion. I'm talking about prodigals that are respectable. I want to tell you, every prodigal does not come to destitution. There is such a thing as making a success in the far country. And I believe that's where we are in the American church. I believe that's where we are in the holiness church. And I'm preaching to you campers today. Amen. We are living in a time when many, you know, how long does it take for apostasy to settle in? How long does it take for there to arise a generation that knows not God? They say four generations. I'm telling you, I am looking at campers that are a fourth generation, many of them. And I want to tell you, here we sit today. Our hair is not disheveled. We've got our best on. We think of the prodigal as somebody with matty hair and, amen, raggedy clothes and the stench, amen, of body odor upon them. But brother, I'm not preaching to that prodigal tonight. I'm preaching to that prodigal that's got Johnston and Murphy's shoes on. Amen, a nice suit and tie. Amen, every hair is in place. Amen, and they come to the house of God. Amen. But yet they are a prodigal. Amen. To the presence of the Lord. I want to tell you, I believe too many people are living too far from the presence of Almighty God. Amen. We are living in a society. Amen. Come on now. That we think the prodigal is that disheveled. Amen. Emaciated creature. But I'm not preaching to them tonight. I'm preaching to those that are sitting on a church pew. You look good. Amen. Come on now. You know just when to say amen. You know just when to clap your hands. You know just when to raise your hands. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. That's who I'm preaching to. If I can bring this around how I need to preach it. There is such a thing as making a success. And I'm telling you, brother, we are living in a generation that people are more successful than we've ever been. We've got better jobs. We've got better pay. And because mom and daddy make more, you campers have got more. Are you hearing me? And we're content with the things that we've got. We are content with an image. Amen. That we are holy rollers. That we are Pentecostal. But so many times we come to our churches, they don't resemble Pentecost. Nobody's clapping their hands. Nobody's praising the Lord. Nobody's worshiping God. Y'all with me? You're looking at me. Amen. But I want to tell you tonight, we are living in a generation that there are people that are sitting on church pews that are prodigals. They are a long way from the presence of the Lord. When was the last time you got in the presence of the Lord? When was the last time the dancer got in your feet? When was the last time the praiser got in your mouth? When was the last time God woke you up in the morning with a burden to roll out? Come on here. I want to tell you, you campers, we're dependent on you to have a revival, as the man of God said this morning, right here at youth camp. But I'm telling you, we cannot be content, amen, with just formality. We cannot be content with just ritual. So many churches, your churches, amen, sometimes the church I pastor, even though I don't like it, amen, we come to church and we are in a ritual. We are in a form. We open in prayer. We take a prayer request. We sing a few songs or courses. We have a couple of specials. The man of God preaches. We come and bend our knee. Amen. Then we go back to our pew and we're dismissed. Amen. We've never come in contact with the supernatural. We've never had a demonstration of the Spirit of God. God, I need to preach to you. And we leave in our Sunday best, our suits and our ties. You ladies with your hair all nice and your pretty dresses. And we leave respectable. We leave dignified. We're better than that man in the gutter. We're better than that prodigal out there. Amen. In the crack house. Oh, God, help me here. But I want to tell you tonight, I believe God would like us to come on home tonight. I believe He'd like us to come around these altars in a few short minutes and say, Lord, amen, I want to feel Your presence. Lord, I want a revival. I want a sin killing, devil chasing, amen, carnality crushing, amen, sin, amen, annihilating, Holy Ghost revival. There is a sad thing is becoming respectable. I am a respectable man of the cloth. I go to the most reverend church. I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't go here, and I don't. I am respectable. Look at my list. Everything is marked off, and I am respectable. But it's been a long time since you felt the Holy Ghost. Woo! Come on now. Amen. I'm telling you, I took a 3-mile walk about 5 o'clock this afternoon. Amen. I'm telling you, Brother Leon, I got to thinking about as a child the way we had church. Amen. Mom and Dad just being knee high to a grasshopper. I begin to feel good. And I said, Lord, amen, come on now. I don't want to be respectable. I don't want just a respectable ministry. I don't want just something that everybody will say, hey, amen, he's respectable. And me be a foreigner to your presence. And me be an exile from the move of the Holy Ghost. I say, God, do it again. Bring us back to the altar. Bring us back to Bethel. Bring us back to where the fire of God is falling. Somebody shout amen. Hear me now. In our text, some 3,000 years ago, Brother Leon, this young priest named Hadad, he was of the royal family of Edom. As a child, he had to flee the savage cruelty of Joab. When he was in Egypt, he fell into good favor. He fell into favor with Pharaoh. Married Pharaoh's sister. He was brother-in-laws with Pharaoh. There in exile, he gained houses. He gained land. He gained wealth. He gained society. He had socialite friends. He had everything a man's heart could want. He was exceeding prosperous. He was a prince in Egypt, living in plenty and living in luxury. I want to tell you, the psalmist said, because there's no chains, amen, change therefore, amen, the people fear not God. I want to tell you, since I've been a boy, come on campers, I'm a preaching to you. I'm going to bring it on down to you here shortly. But I want to tell you, when I was a boy, amen, I'm 48 years old. I've had it good. My dad had a good job. He took care of us. I believe I've lived in a prosperous, amen, country. But through the years, even in my ministry, 28 years going on 30 now, I've seen where prosperity, amen, has cooled us off. Where prosperity has made us content. Where prosperity has made us satisfied, comfortable. Huh? We make more money, so we go on more vacations. We make more money, so we can buy four-wheelers, boats, guns, shoes, purses. I don't buy them. I ought to take stock out in it, though. Are you hearing me? Oh, I'm trying to preach to you. I know it's close to home, and I'm not trying to browbeat us. Are you hearing me? No, no, no. That's not my intention to say, hey, amen, my heart tonight is saying, Lord, I don't want to just be respectable. Amen. I just don't want to have a list with everything checked off and lose that old time conviction we used to feel. I don't want to just become respectable. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody, and lose that old time. Oh, my God, I'd like to preach to you. I remember as a little boy, the Davis family coming by and Brother George Sr. saying, amen, singing that old song about a chariot. Hallelujah. God's own chariot is a coming in the morning. Oh, and shouting and feeling the glory of God. I wished I could preach to you. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I don't want to lose what made the holiness people great. It wasn't just preaching. It wasn't just intellect. It wasn't respectability. It was a hunger and a thirsting after righteousness. It was a hunger and a thirsting after, oh my God, I want to tell you tonight, but we are living in a day that we are comfortable with being respectable. Oh, I know that you're not engaged in the riotous living. Like that prodigal with the disheveled hair. Huh? But what is sin anymore? Smoking ain't sin. Drinking ain't sin. Going to the movies ain't sin. Nothing's sin anymore. Just go to church and be respectable. It's a cool thing to do. Have a good job. Have a lot of stuff. Go to church and everybody will say, they're respectable. Are you hearing me? We say, well, at least I ain't on meth. At least I'm not a drunkard. Huh? At least I'm not a gambling addict. Huh? I'm with the same companion. Oh, I know y'all looking at me here tonight. I hope you're looking at me because I got your attention, or the Holy Ghost has got your attention. Are you hearing me? Amen. But I'm telling you, I want something more than just respectability. I'm afraid too many Christians come to church with a mask of respectability on. Amen. Come on now. They come with a mold on. They come with a form, but they don't have any power. I wish somebody'd shout amen. I'll tell you what kind of altar call we need to have tonight is where God strips our mask of respectability. He breaks the molds of our respectability till we forget, amen, who our neighbor is, amen, and what they're thinking, amen, and we say, God, I come to worship you in the beauty of holiness. I come to worship you in spirit and in truth. I wish somebody'd shout amen. Not everybody goes, I need to wrap this up. I'm not going to preach long. But I've been across this country from coast to coast. And we're fooling ourselves, guys, if we don't think that even in some holiness churches, huh? I believe there's a little of all of the seven churches of Revelation in every church. That's a message all in itself, and I can't go there. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of Laodicea in our churches today. We're rich. We're increased with goods. And we have need of nothing. Our singing is good. Our pastor is good. Amen. We've got, oh, come on now. And that's our problem. We are in need of nothing. We have become content with respectability as long as we pass, amen, mortal man's inspection. We don't think we have to do any more. And our churches have become colder. And our altar services have become more powerless. Are you hearing me? Amen. I know that Hadad went to Egypt, but his trip wasn't a bad trip. Amen. His books were not in the red when he decided to go back home. He had found wealth. He had found fame. He had found a princess for a wife. Pharaoh for a brother-in-law. And when Pharaoh said, "Why in the world do you want to go back home? What lack ye?" He said, "I don't lack anything. I don't lack nothing. I've got money. I've got friends. I've got position. But I ain't home." Oh, are you hearing me? "But I ain't home." We may have singing. We may have great preaching. We may have great organizational skills. Amen. But oh, church, are we home? Do we feel our need to go back to the Father's house? Do we feel our need for a fresh touch of the holy oil that Brother Leon talked about? Come on, campers. Amen. Listen to me. What we're needing is old time religion. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to try to close. You know what a prodigal? The Bible said that prodigal wasted his substance on riotous living. We come to church and say, "I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a drinker. Fornicator. I'm not a drug addict. I'm respectable. I don't waste my money on booze. I don't waste my money on nicotine. I don't waste my money on lottery tickets. I am respectable." Huh? That prodigal wasted his substance on low living. Brother, we're living in a day. You know what a prodigal is? Basically, a prodigal is a spendthrift. A prodigal is somebody who is a waster. And we make and sit here tonight and say we're not idolaters, and we're not adulterers, and we're not fornicators, and we're not gamblers, and we're not drinkers. Amen, and hallelujah for that. Amen, but I'll tell you, I believe we're living in a day that we have become so prosperous, and we have become so respectable. We may not be wasting our money on booze and drugs, but we waste our money and we waste our time on 100 other things that may not be sin, they may not be evil, but they are a time robber and they are a waster. We come to church with our minds so bogged down, young folks. Spend all day on Facebook and Instagram and Vine and every other contraption that's out there. And I'm going to tell you this. There's evil on all of it, but I know that everybody that is on those things is not evil. If your heart's right, you'll do right. Come on now. Amen. I just want to make that clear. Amen. But this is our problem. Amen. We stay up all night Saturday night. Go to bed at 3 a.m. Get up. See if anybody's posted anything. And when we come to church, we're dressed in our suits, our ties. We've got everything just right. We're respectable. Amen. But we've wasted so much time. Amen. Our minds are so clouded. Our spirits are so weighted down. It takes us 45 minutes just to feel a little more. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you tonight, I believe God's come to Tiger Mountain. He wants to rip off some mask of respectability. He wants somebody to get saved. He wants somebody to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lift your hand and say, "Help, Brother Tracy." I'm almost done. What do you lack? Nothing. I just want to go home. I just want to go home. Elvis Presley, toward the end of his life, was being interviewed by a radio station. Famous, wealthy. They said, Elvis, with all your wealth and with all your fame, if there was one thing you could buy with your money, what would it be? They said, Elvis took a deep breath and he sighed. And with a little brokenness in his voice, he said, I guess if I could just go back to that little Assembly of God church in Tupelo, Mississippi, and stand beside my mama and my grandpa and feel what I felt then again. Amen. He said, I think that's what I'd spend my money on. Oh, I wish somebody had helped me preach here. What do you mean, Elvis? You got fame. You got wealth. You've had women. You've had wine. You've had success. Amen. But I'd like to go home. Amen. I'd like to go home. I want to tell you, church, we've got respectability. Amen. But I'd like to come home to old time religion, where the dancer gets in our feet, and the praiser gets in our mouth, and the clapper gets in our hand. Oh, hallelujah. I say I'd like to come home. I say I'd like to come home. What about you? What about you when you think of the old landmark? What about you when you think of the old time way? What about you when you think of your first love? My mom, I felt that God impressed me to tell this, and I say you could be coming, getting ready. Hallelujah. My mom, I'm not going to go into all the detail. She was the daughter of a holiness preacher. My dad was the son of a holiness preacher. And they met, and both of them were backslid. For 7 years, they lived and got married and lived together. Both of them backslid. One night, my mom went to an Andre Crouch concert. Went with one of her friends, a backslider. And Andre got to singing, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord. My mama said she got home that night. She's laying in the bed. She said, Rich, she said, I've been thinking. He said, what you been thinking about, girl? She said, I've been thinking about home. I've been thinking about getting saved. And he said, Cheryl, she said, I've been thinking the same thing. Woo! I remember him. I was a 7-year-old boy. They woke me up on Easter morning and said, we're going to church. I said, Daddy, I don't want to go to church. He said, son, we're going to church. Amen. And we went to church. Brother Gerald Anderson got up that morning. He preached on jailbreak. Listen to me, campers. I was just a 7-year-old boy, and I've never forgot it. Are you hearing me? Amen. Come on now. I don't know if you've ever seen shouting. I don't know if you've ever seen holy rollers. Amen. But I want to tell you something. There's something to it. And long before there was charismatics, there were holiness folks that were shouting. And they were running. And they were worshiping. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Dad didn't get saved. He left. But the next Sunday morning, girls, just hang on. I'll tell you when, Shay. Amen. The next Sunday morning, Dad woke us up again, said, "We're going to church." He could tell you Brother Gerald preached on jailbreak, but he can't tell you what the preacher preached when he walked the aisle. Amen. I'm telling you, my daddy's my mentor. Hallelujah. He is my idol. Amen. He's the one, and not in a bad sense, but he's the one that I patterned my life off after. And he can't remember what the preacher preached, but I remember him testifying, and I've heard him say it through the years. He said, "I come to that altar and I was weighted down with sin." Amen. And hallelujah, I prayed. Amen. And I would remember when the burden rolled away, and he said that I felt like I was floating that high off the ground. I say, give me that old time religion. Amen. Let us get back to the place where sinners get saved. Hallelujah. Respectability, God tear our mask off. That little church in Manila, you've been there, Brother George. Little thing. Woo! Shouting. Holy Ghost meetings. I remember being on the platform one morning. I was about 9 or 10 years old. I'm telling you, they were bucking and a kicking and a running and a screaming. Amen. And I remember my daddy, he was talking to Jim Seymour, and I standing as close to him as I could, and I heard him say, "Jim, do you see that haze out there? Can you see that haze over the congregation?" I mean, the Holy Ghost was in that place, and we looked out, or they looked out over the congregation, and you could see the haze. And I remember as a little boy, amen, seeing that and thinking, "Hey, amen, there's something to it. Let me tell you, mama. Let me tell you, daddies that are here. Amen. Has your children ever seen you shout? Amen. Have they ever seen the haze? Have they ever felt the glory? Amen. Come on now. We can't afford to lose it. We've become so respectable, so dignified. We have forgotten what made us great." Would you stand? Are you homesick? Are you homesick? Let's pick it up. Are you homesick for the presence of the Lord? I don't know how this altar service is going to go, but I'll tell you how I feel like God wants us to go. He wants us to come to this altar, and He wants us to rip off our mask of respectability. I don't go there, good. I don't do this, good. I don't, good, 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 good. But when was the last time you got lost in the presence of the Holy Ghost? When was the last time God had His way with you? Amen. I don't know how long it's been, but God's saying, come on back home. You may have a good job. You may have everything going your way, but it's time to let the presence of the Lord, amen, fill your vessel again. Amen. Come on. Go ahead. You guys do whatever you feel like. Hallelujah.
Give me that old time religion.
Good for mom and dad.
Give me that old time religion.
Good for mom and dad.
feet. Let clapping get in your hands. Let's have a move of God around here. Come on. Respectable. We need more than respectability. We need a demonstration. We need revival. We need restoration. We need the fire. More than four.